All right, we're just going to jump right into this message this morning. I want to really challenge all of us about our personal walk with the Lord. We call it our four pillars here at Grace Point, the things that we do. And one of those things is next steps. And it's not really something that you just show up at. There's not a time for it. But the idea of next steps it sort of permeates everything we do. And so the question is always, what's your next step? What is God doing in you now, and where is God taking you? Because I think that a lot of us live, we give our hearts to Christ, and we just sort of coast, and we don't think about what the next thing is, the next thing that God is trying to do, the next step in our lives, and so it gets a little stale. And if we can be quite honest, the church world is full of people who raise their hand on a Sunday and said, I'm giving my heart to Christ, and then never follow through with any sort of relationship with God. Now, I'm not discounting that decision with Christ, but there is a moment where Jesus told us to become disciples. Not just numbers to get counted, but disciples. And disciples take next steps. Disciples grow. Disciples work on their relationship with God. And so that's sort of where this message comes from today. So I want to call it this. Live your calling. What on earth am I here for? Now listen, I am not going to take responsibility for telling you why God placed you on earth, all right? That's between you and Him. But when we hear this word calling, we sometimes think of it as, this is what I'm created to do, this is why God placed me on earth, and all that's accurate. And so why am I here? What is God doing? And we think that calling is going to bring us fulfillment and joy if we can just figure out what we're supposed to do. And all of that is true. Every bit of that is true. But here's what I'm going to promise you. This message series over the next several weeks is not going to remove the struggle of learning about your calling. Quite often I have conversations with people and they will say, well, why did God put me on earth? What is God doing with me? What is He trying to accomplish? And then I have to say to them, I don't know what He's trying to do specifically with your life, but there's some biblical principles that will help us understand. So this message series is not a quick fix. There has to be some struggle involved in that, or we don't appreciate it very much. We don't grow in it. A butterfly has to work to get out of the cocoon. I'm no biologist, but I have heard that if you help a butterfly get out of the cocoon, it doesn't live very long. The struggle is what makes it strong enough and what creates the structure so that it can go on and live. And in our culture, we don't like struggle. We love comfort. Come on, somebody. I mean, how many times have you bought a new recliner off a marketplace hoping it'll be the one, you know? I mean, this is kind of what we do. We want to find our comfortable place. We want to get to that spot where it's going to be okay and we can relax. And God doesn't tell us to get to a place in life and relax. Now, He tells us to relax along the way, but it's at intervals between serving Him, between doing what we're called to do. Now, we're calling this live your calling. And if you're like me, you get many, many phone calls every day. And you have to decide, am I answering this call? And some of them go like, okay, yes, I own a car. And no, I don't need a new warranty. Right? And we get that. We understand that. And then we say something like, please take me off your list, and Jesus loves you, and don't call me back. That kind of thing, you know. We don't want to be involved in that. Phone calls show up in all sorts of ways. Many years ago, I called a guy in our church. His dad had passed away in a different state, and I called him, and I had a number. Back then, we were still using house phones, all right? That was a long time ago, I know. And so I had the number of his sister's house. So I called and she answered, and I told her who I was, and I told her who I wanted to talk to. And of course, it's her brother, and I can hear there's all kinds of noise in the background. I mean, the family is together after the funeral and all that. And I can tell it's extremely loud. And she screams at him, screams his name, and tells him to come to the phone. She said, "It's for you." He comes to the phone, and he gives me a gruff, "Hello?" And I said, "Hey, man." I called his name, and I said, "This is Pastor Wooten. Just wanted to call you and check on you." He said, "Hold on." And I think he thought his hand was over the receiver. And he looks at his family, who's being way too loud for him right now. And he uses some words that we don't use on Sunday mornings. And he says, "Y'all shut up. I got the blankety blank pastor on the phone." And then he did this. "Hey, Pastor Wooten, how you doing?" And made my day, I ain't gonna lie. I've been laughing about it for 20 years now. So that was a phone call he was not prepared to get. Several years ago when our kids were small, we were at the movies one night. I'm sure it was some cartoon movie, you know. We were doing the family night thing. And we were sitting toward the back of the theater. Credits roll, lights come up. And I see a couple that I know very well. They're good friends of ours. And I see them down at the front with their kids. And I tell Jody, "I'm going to see if he'll answer my call." So I'm watching him. And I call him, and he pulls his phone out of his pocket. And he looks at it, and he's walking, and he sticks it right back in his pocket. And 12 seconds later, he was looking me face to face. It was great. And he was like, "Oh, sorry, man. I'm sorry." And I was like, "No, listen. I'm proud of you for not answering my call when you were out with your family. You did exactly what you were supposed to do." We all get it when we get phone calls that we like and we don't like. Back in the day, when you had a phone on the wall or on the nightstand or wherever it was, there was a phrase that was said a lot. Somebody would answer and they would say, "It's for you. It's for you." You'd run over to the phone. Didn't want to miss a phone call back then. Nobody avoided a phone call. Nobody ever let a phone ring for any length of time. Everybody was running to get to the phone back then. Not like it is today. And I kind of see the same thing happen when it comes to calling in our personal lives today. There might have been a time when we said, "Let me run to what God has for me." And then we get a little lazy or we get comfortable and we back away from it. And God is still calling and God is still working in our lives, because a phone call is just an invitation to have a conversation, right? It's just an invitation. When the phone rings, you know somebody wants to talk to you. Now, it might not be the kind of phone call you want, but it's an invitation. And so this word calling in the New Testament is about an invitation. And it really has two words involved. It's two types of invitation in one. So when the Bible says to you and me that God calls us, it's saying that God is calling us to salvation, but he's also calling us to purpose. He's doing something in us. He wants to touch our lives and save us. Now let's define salvation real quick. The problem with humans is we need a Savior, because we got a sin problem that's going to keep us out of heaven. So we need a Savior to wash away our sins and allow us into heaven and give us eternal life. That's salvation. Salvation is just a root word from the same word as salvage. It's God saying, "I'm going to take you out. I'm going to salvage you out of this mess. I'm going to give you new life." So when he gives us his calling, he's saying, I want to save you from this. I want to give you eternal life. But he doesn't end there. He's also saying that he wants to give us purpose. And this is where we usually find ourselves using the word calling. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm called to do. People who go feed the hungry every week, you said, I feel like I'm called to do this. This is what I feel like God is urging me to do. And a handful of people sort of figure out their calling early in life, and they just feel good about the direction their life goes. Most people don't get it set and then just walk away and their life is on autopilot. There's this listening to God along the way. He's always calling us. He's always calling us. It's up to us of whether we're going to answer or not. Am I going to listen to what he's asking of me? Am I going to do this his way? I want to start off with two scriptures. Romans chapter 8, 28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." And sometimes we stop there. That all things, that God works out everything for those people who love him. That's not what all it says. It says, "And who have been called according to his purpose." He said, I want to save you, but I want to give you purpose. Look at Ephesians 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed. It was a call. He called you out of your old life, your old messed up life, and he saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. None of us in this room or watching online or anywhere this morning can go, "You know what? I've been saved a long time. Look at what I did." Nobody can say that. We have to rely on the grace of God. Now look at verse 10. "For we are God's masterpiece." A masterpiece has to be worked on. It's a developing thing. It takes some time to develop a masterpiece. And God is always working in your life and mine. Just look at somebody right now and say, "God is always working." Amen. He's trying to create a masterpiece. Now think about the person you just said that to and think about how long it's going to take for them to become a master. No, stop. Let's keep going. All right. "For we are God's masterpiece." A masterpiece. So if there's an art show, your life is on center stage. This is a masterpiece. A lifetime work of art. This is what God's trying to create in you and me. He has created us anew. We can say brand new. He's created us brand new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So in that one, those two or three scriptures, it shows us that God is calling us to salvation, something we can't pay for, we can't earn, we can't be good enough to get. But then, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. He's going to save us, calling us to salvation, and then he's going to call us to do good works. He's going to stretch you. He's going to take you on a journey. He's going to get you somewhere that you did not think you would be. He's going to take you somewhere that you did not think you were capable of getting. Why? Because he's calling. He's calling. Remember when your kids were little and you sat down on the floor and you stood them up and you moved away one step or two steps and you just waited for them. "Come on, walk to me, walk to me." And they fell down 500 times. And then one day, a wobbly, shaky step happened. And you're like, "My baby is going to go to college on a scholarship," right? "She is amazing. He is amazing. Look at this." I mean, you know, she was potty trained at 7 months old. Who cares? I mean, here we go. All right. So it's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey. God's calling us. Salvation needs to happen and immediately. But this purpose and this calling that happens over a life takes time to develop and time to work out. It doesn't happen because we sit still. It happens because we are active, because God has planned for us to do stuff. God has planned good works for you to do. God is going to make sure. He's already... this is scripture, all right? He's already put your life is going to collide with somebody else's life who needs you to do good works in their life somewhere along the way. And you're going to recognize it, but you can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. So here's what, five things. What we need to know about our life calling. What I need to know about my life calling, all right? Because sometimes in the Christian world, I see people getting a little puffed up about what God is doing in their life. "Look at what I did," and they want to read you their resume about all the great stuff they did for Jesus. And I'm like, "Yeah, but you didn't save yourself." So there's a way that we're supposed to do this. And these five things will help us with that. Number one, God chose me before I was born. God chose me. God chose you before we were born. Galatians 1:15. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Before I was born. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you, this is God talking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were even formed in the womb, God said, I knew you. I had plans for you when nobody else knew you were even going to exist. God chose me. He chose you before we were ever born. Now, here's the beautiful part of this story. God chose you before you were able to be good or bad. So when we say to God, well, I don't really need that church thing right now. I don't need that salvation thing. I'm a good person. I feel like I'm going to go to heaven. God's like, I knew you before you were even born. Before you even had a chance to do something good, I was calling you. Before you even had a chance to do anything that was worthwhile, I was calling you before that. Or maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. You're like, I'm so bad. I've done so many horrible things. And God, I don't know if your grace is enough to forgive me. And God's like, I knew you. I formed you. I called you before you were ever born. I knew all the garbage and the dumb decisions you were going to make. I knew who you were going to be all along the way. And I still chose you. I still formed you. I still called you to this. Our worth does not come in how good we are on this earth. Our worth comes because God formed us before our parents ever knew about us. He loved us way before that. Here's number two, things we need to know about our calling. My calling is a gift from God. My calling is a gift from God. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. He saved us and he called us to a holy life. He wants us to live up to the calling. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The important word right here for this morning in this scripture is grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. Grace is an undeserved gift. Anybody ever given you a gift when it surprised you? Like they said, I just wanted to do this for you. And they hand you whatever it is. And you're like, is it my birthday? Is it almost Christmas? What's going on? I don't even know why you're giving me this. It's an undeserved gift. When God called us, we didn't deserve it. We hadn't done anything to earn it, but he's calling us. He's calling us. Then we have to decide, am I going to answer the call? Here's number three. My calling is connected to others. This I'm going to do it by myself thing is not of God. Can we say that? If you're trying to live a Christian life by yourself, you are doing it wrong. You are spinning your wheels. My calling is connected to others. Ephesians 4, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. It's like there's just one body. And we all need each other. Hebrews 3:1. I love the God's word version of this. Brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. I'm going to embarrass you again. Look at somebody and say, I need you. I need you. We need each other. We need each other. I can't do this without y'all. There's no way. There's no way we can be the men and women that God has called us to be, if we are not connected to one another. You're holy partners in a heavenly calling. We have this weird idea that we can do it by ourselves and that we don't need anybody, and it's just a lie from Satan. It should never be that we are trying to walk out our purpose by ourselves. But if we're going to involve other people in our journey, in our calling, and we're going to be involved in their calling, we also have to know that there's going to be moments when somebody is going to need to say something to us that we are not going to like. You ever been corrected? How well do you do with correction? Does it feel good? Do you like it? You're like, just next time, just tell me sooner. I mean, just let me have it a little bit sooner and a little bit. We don't, that's not how we roll. We hate it. we like to think that we got it all figured out and we're doing it right and that everybody else just needs to come to us and we can tell them how to do it. It's delusional. It's when we are trying to live this life, this calling, without other people involved, we're doing it wrong. I'm going to give you a tidbit. This won't cost anything extra. You have to give people permission to speak into your life. Because if you haven't given me permission to point out an inconsistency in your life and I point it out, it's going to offend you. But if you've already said to me, hey, if you see me messing up, man, tell me. And then I tell you, you go, okay, I asked for it. I had a conversation just the other day. An accountability partner in my life, and I called him about something, and he said, these are his, I'm not even going to tell you what he said. He corrected me pretty hard. And I was like, easy, bro. You don't have to be that mean about it, but all right, I got it. And I received it, and I corrected it. Like, I got to have the right attitude. I got to do this right. I can't do this by myself. My calling will not be fulfilled if I'm trying to go it alone. Here's number four. When God calls, he empowers us. When God calls us, he empowers us. He's not going to ask you to do anything that he's not going to empower. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. That's part of our calling. Salvation. He's going to turn you into something different than how he found you. Make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. So it's about that salvation part of calling. It's God wants to work in us and do what we can't do for ourselves. But 2 Thessalonians 1 says this, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. And may he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. He's going to prompt you to do good things. So on the one side, we got salvation. On the other side, we got purpose. We got this calling going on. God is calling. It's an invitation to salvation. It's an invitation to purpose. God wants to make us holy. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. And he also has good works for us to do. He wants us to serve some people along the way. Now here's number five. Heaven is the prize for those who answer the call. Now listen, that used to be the moment in churches when everybody would just, get real excited. You know why? Because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor. They didn't have anything to eat. There were no jobs. They were broke all the time. They were sick all the time. And they just thought, I'm ready to go to heaven. But we got a lot of comforts nowadays. We have a lot of comforts. I doubt anybody in this room has gone hungry lately. I know I hadn't. I doubt we've gone hungry. If you have, if you'll see me, you will not go hungry again. I promise you that. All right? So it's easy for us when it's comfortable here on earth to not think about heaven being the prize for living out our calling. Well, one day our life on earth is going to be over. And we want to stand before the Lord and say, I did my best to follow your calling. I tried to answer the call, Lord. When you said, it's for you, I was ready to answer. And I wanted to answer it every day. Philippians 3:14, I press on. I love this. It's the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church. He said, I press. He said, I'm pushing. I'm working. I'm not coasting here. He said, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You ever been to a little league game? A little league baseball game is the funniest thing you've ever seen. Because they swing, and I mean, if they even hit, just knock the tee out from under the ball, they're on the run. And half the time, they're running to third base instead of first base. And they're this tall, so you're just like, go, run! You just want them to get there, you know? even though they're going to be out when they get there. And a coach, every time, any of us have ever seen this, that coach runs over to the third baseline and goes, no, come this way, come this way, come this way. And he leads him back down the first baseline. This is important. He leads him back down the first baseline, and then he'll grab him by the shoulders and say, stand right here until I tell you to run. He doesn't try to explain everything about baseball. He's like, just right here, this is your next step. Stand still for a minute. Just don't go anywhere. Don't listen to mama. She's crazy. Don't listen to her. Just stand right here. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. God is so invested in you finishing this race well that he's going to guide you along the way. It's called grace. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me get you to this place. Now stand right here and let's get a breath. Just take a breath right here. You got teammates that are coming up behind you. Somebody else is going to try to hit the ball. And I'll tell you when to run. The prize is related to us working out our relationship with Jesus over a lifetime. And that results in the heavenly prize. You see, there's something going on in your life and mine that Satan wants to stop. He wants to stop us from dreaming about our relationship with God. He wants to tell us, this is enough. This is all it is. This is all you'll ever be. This is all you'll ever accomplish. You'll never be one of those good people. Here's what I love. This church is full of good people who once thought they would never be good people. All right? And this church is full of good people who trip over their shoestrings regularly. Like, I'm going to second base. Let me run as fast as I can. And I messed it up. But I got teammates. I got teammates. So when I start this calling, God is just saying, I just want to save you. I just want to save you. I just want to give you eternal life. I'm calling you. I've been calling you. All the way back to your mother's womb, I've been calling you. If you don't get anything, get this. God was speaking to you and drawing you and calling you before you even knew you existed. He was just ready. He said, I got a plan. You're going to mess it up sometimes, but I got a plan for that too. The scripture we just read said Jesus, the grace of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, was given to us before the foundations of the world. So God said, let's create Adam and Eve, and we got a plan because we know they're going to mess it up. We got a plan. The plan was Jesus is going to die in your place and mine and provide salvation for us. So there are people in the room that are saying, I'm good. And there are people who are saying, I'm so bad. I'm so good, I don't need Jesus. I'm so bad, he don't need me. Let me tell you, both of those are lies. He's calling us. He's calling us. He's calling us. He's calling us. There is something. He is asking of you. He's developing your faith. He's growing you daily. He's moving in your life. He's working in you today. And we just have to make up our mind. Am I going to lean into what he's doing? Am I going to lean into what God wants to do in my life? I want to challenge you today. See, that first part of the step, we just read it. It said that all you have to do is believe. It's not about what you're doing. Just believe it. Just believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Surrender. Believe. Second part is when we got to engage. There's purpose. There's a calling. There's a calling. Where's God taking you? How's God working? What's God doing? Because he's doing something. He's doing something in your life. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't written you off. He's got somewhere for you to go and something for you to do. Now here's the beautiful thing when God is working. is that God will never let you do more for him than he's doing for you. This is important. Sometimes I've heard people in Christian circles say things like, I gave up everything to follow the call of God. I'm like, well, you probably ain't following the call of God then. If you gave up more than God is doing for you, I'm not sure you're on the right path. Because God's going to bless us as we do this. He's going to bless us as we do this. But we got to engage him. Now watch this. I will never figure out my life on the first try. We love quick fixes. There's a billion websites that say 3 steps to a happier life, 5 steps to being rich. It's just like, here you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And none of them work. It worked for somebody one time, and he wrote an article about it, all right? But there's a journey. There's a journey. He wants us to grow. He's calling us. Are we listening? Are we answering? 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 So somebody told me that the lottery got up to like $1.5 billion or something the other day. And I was like, Lord, that sounds like money that Jesus needs. I'd like to give that in the hands of the church. Right? You got to buy tickets for that to work. But anyway, it's funny. We had a little fun with it. We said, boy, if we were to win $1 billion, what in the world would we do? And I'm like, my family asked me, and I was like, I already got a plan. I'm ready. I mean, me and Dave Ramsey, we're like this. I'm on it. Here's what I knew. I'm not going to win $1 billion. Okay? Theoretically, here's what I would hope would happen. Lord, it just will make me a bigger whatever I am. That if I'm serving you, it'll make me a better servant. Not pull me away, but just make me a better one. What would make you a better servant today? What would God, what step of obedience would make you a better servant? Are we listening to his call? Stand with me if you would. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, right now is the moment to do it. It can't be, well, I mean, it might, but the best time to surrender our life to Christ is right now. Right now. Just to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to start this journey with the Lord. What is God doing? How is he drawing you? How are you responding to him? If he's drawing you and he's saying, I got a plan for you and I want you just to surrender your life, and I know you've never surrendered your life, and I'm ready to accept you just like you are and change you and work on you. If that's you, the prayer goes like this. Lord, I surrender. I confess all my sins. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to take charge of my life. I want you to work in my life. I want to be your follower and your disciple. You can pray that in your own way, in your own words, and start your journey with the Lord. Or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Maybe you've been walking with him for a long time. And you got that first step of calling down. You got that salvation thing. You know you're saved. You know that your name is written in heaven, like the Bible says. But that purpose part kind of eludes you. You're like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it yet. And it's been some time. I want to say, engage and pray. You got to get engaged somewhere. You got to activate somewhere. Even if it's not the thing you end up doing for a lifetime, you got to get engaged. And then you got to pray about it. And we're going to pray those two prayers right now. Wherever you're at in this journey, pray one of those prayers. Here we go. Father, we thank you so much for your grace today. We thank you, God, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we today just ask you to draw every person who doesn't have a relationship with you, God. Just right now, start by drawing them close to you. Just save them this morning. Wash away their sins. Make them new, like the scripture we just read. Transform minds and hearts and to just love you. And God, we just pray that you would take whatever big or small mess it might be and just turn it into something beautiful. And we trust you with that, and we thank you for that. We thank you for what's coming. And Lord, for the person who's just sort of stalled out, just maybe afraid to answer the call, today, Lord, we're asking you to help us. We pray for motivation. We pray for, old scriptures tell us, the unction of the Spirit, Lord. Just that moving of the Spirit in our lives that just draws us out of our slumber and out of our even laziness and propels us forward to accomplish what you want to accomplish in us, God. We thank you for what's coming, and we pray for your will to be done in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let me tell you this before I go. In second service this morning, in just a few minutes, we have 14 people signed up to be baptized. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it blows my mind. We made a decision a long time ago that we're putting baptism on the schedule every month, whether anybody signed up or not. And I don't know the last time that we haven't had somebody, at least one person or two people, being baptized every month. Now, here's what you need to know about that, is that when a church is healthy, they're seeing baptisms. They're seeing new life. They're seeing people grow. And they're seeing disciples made. And that's what this is all about. And so we'll have some pictures for you later somewhere, Facebook. I'm not sure where all those go. But there'll be pictures available and give you a chance to rejoice with what's going to happen in second service. Can we give God some praise for that? Amen.